chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says there, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast thou in the house. And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that he said unto her, Her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the singing today, the fellowship. And now, Lord, we pray that you speak to us. Lord, speak through the preaching of your word, fellowship with you. Lord, draw closer to you. Lord, meet every need. Oh, pray for one or more maybe here lost, not sure about their salvation. Help them to see that need, turn to you, and we'll put the whole service into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Title of the message today is Get Desperate. Get Desperate. You know, when we talk to people today, and I talk to a lot of folks, you know, we hear a lot of desperation. A lot of people sound like really that they're giving up hope of things ever being any better than they are. You know, we talk about topics that people talk about today. The economy, we talk crime, ISIS comes up, shootings everywhere, politics, of course, the downward spiral of morality, sickness, disease, death, you know, you name it. All those things are you know, tough topics. And I'm talking about, these are topics from people that are Christian folks that, you know, that know the Lord. And when we look at the case in point here with the text today, we see a widow woman, and it says that, of course, being a widow woman, that means that her husband is dead, and that her husband was a prophet, you know, a servant of God. He was a prophet. He had been a preacher. So, you know, of course, the word Christianity wasn't used there, but it was God's people. It would be the same thing today. We see, so she's a godly woman or a God-fearing woman, and her husband was, but her husband died. And she's got some debt. She was left in a certain amount of debt. The creditors have come to have the debt paid and are threatening to take her sons to be used as or sold as slaves to pay the debt. And so she fit the bill, really, this woman does, a kind of a microcosm of the situation of a lot of people that are in the world. Now, what she does is a crucial thing. And I think what this woman does would help us in a world that we're living in today, or whatever situation you might be in your life, I think it'll help you. And so that's what I want to look at. Just got 4 points to talk about this morning. And the very first one goes with the title of the message today, and that is Get Desperate. Get Desperate. It says in verse 1, it says, "And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha." There cried. That word cry. A cry indicates for her the pressure of her desperation. And it also indicates the earnestness of her appeal to the prophet. I mean, she got desperate. When things get bad, that's what you do. You know, you cry, or you cry out to somebody. And, you know, one of the things and one of the problems I see with people today, and even among Christian people, is that they don't want to admit that they're in any kind of trouble. They don't want to admit that. They'd rather look good at all costs then admit how desperate the situation really is in their own life. You know, we have a lot of resources in the world today to fall back on that this woman didn't have. You know, we have retirement plans, we have social services, we have Social Security, we've got food pantries, we've got even churches themselves that may meet your need. We've got resource centers and welfare and all those things that that society has that, you know, we can kind of fall back on right there. And so we're never quite as desperate as maybe we could be, and perhaps maybe even that we need to be. I think sometimes that, you know, desperation's not a bad thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, if you get desperate enough, I remember when I was, before I was saved, and, you know, boxing was a bigger deal than it is now. This was back in Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, man. I mean, you know, when fighting was a big event, as the Super Bowl was, a big fight, they didn't even have, you'd be on the radio, man, you'd have it all dialed in, all staticky, trying to get the thing to find out what happened. Boxing was big. And you know, I remember a buddy of mine, we were following the boxing circuit, and he said, you know, some of these guys, you know, they got saved. George Foreman, you know, became a Christian, and they got saved. He said, you know, why is it? He said that when they get down on their luck, when they finally go downhill, why is it when they go downhill, you know, they turn to Jesus? Why do people do that? I'm going to tell you what, because when it finally gets desperate enough, when the situation gets desperate enough, you know, you'll turn back to God. That's why over there in, that's why in the Revelation, in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I'd rather have you cold or hot than not lukewarm, because if you get cold enough, if you get cold enough, you'll look for the fire. You know what I mean? He said, I'd rather have you cold, so you go look for the fire somewhere. That's why he said that. So desperation's not a bad thing. I think sometimes we just need to get desperate. We have a tendency to say about everything, you know, I mean, your arm falls off. You say, well, it's not that bad. You know, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, your head falls off on the ground. Well, it's not that bad. You know, just fix it up. That's what we say. We have a positive outlook, I guess. But, you know, we want to try to drown. And you look at the world today, people drown their desperation, alcohol, drugs, immorality, busyness of life. We know what white noise is. White noise is something that you put in the background so either other people can't hear what's going on or you just can't hear what's going on. People have to sleep. They got white noise, little CD. Just, that's what's going on in the background of a whole lot of people's lives. They just got white noise. So they don't have to think about anything. They don't have to realize how bad it is. They don't know how spiritually bad they are. They don't want to know how morally bad they are. They don't want to know about anything. They don't want to know about the problems. Just have the white noise going in life. I read a little article here, and this would apply. It was kind of fit with this, maybe a desperate situation. This woman here, I didn't read all of it to you, but this woman was married to a pastor. Her father was a pastor. Her father had died about 2 years before. Her husband was a pastor. And listen, I want to tell you something about being a pastor and having a wife. I have a wife and I'm a pastor. I'm my wife's pastor. If I die, not only does she lose a husband, she loses her pastor. Hopefully I'll hang around a little bit longer. I mean, I feel okay. Although, you know, you never know. But her husband was a pastor and he died. And then to top it all off, they had two daughters. One of them wanted to be a missionary. One of them needed a missionary. One of them was getting in a rebellious state. She was married, but she was getting away from God. So they're at that point right there. And this other pastor that had known her and her husband and been a couple years had gone by, he decided to shoot her an email and say, hey, how's everything going? You know, I told you sometimes I see people coming down the sidewalk, I don't ask them how it's going because I don't have all day for them to tell me how it's going because it's not usually going good. This is what she said. She said, life has been hellacious. Mary, this is a daughter, Mary is her daughter. Mary's husband tried to kill her right after Thanksgiving. I got a call at 2 a.m. from a hospital chaplain. It was like a nightmare. Her husband's been in jail ever since, but is due to get out in February. He told her he'd kill her when he gets out. The chief judge told her to take self-defense and get a gun. How's that for our system? She and her two babies have been in hiding, then at helpmate, then at mother's, and now in a government-subsidized apartment. We've all been sick through Christmas and since. The backdoor neighbor's huge tree fell on my house December 30th while Emily and her fiancé David and I were at church singing the Hallelujah chorus. If we had been here, we could have been killed. It took out my new room and fence. Jerry and I tried for years to get them to cut it, but they like trees. I do too, but not in my house. It rained in and then snowed, and a big clump of mistletoe fell on my sofa. It shattered my Bethlehem nativity, but my little sign remains standing that says, "Be still and know that I am God." I do know that or I would go under. I've been without a floor, a ceiling, a roof, and heat in that room since then. I'm finally seeing progress, and they have finally boarded up the roof. On Tuesday night of last week, I passed out while driving in Asheville. It's a miracle I didn't kill anybody. They thought I was having a stroke or a heart attack. It was finally determined that it was a panic attack, migraine related. The doctor said I needed to rid my life of stress, sleep more, walk 2 miles a day. The following Saturday, my brother's grandbaby had a 2-hour seizure and was in the ICU on a ventilator in Florida. That same night, Mary was taken to the ER with a blood clot. I was trying to get out the door on Sunday morning and drive for the first time since Tuesday to get the babies when my cell phone rang. It was Emily's fiance calling to say that she was in the ER in Virginia. I thought I'd just dropped dead. 4 of our family members were in the hospital within a 6-day period. We're all back home and better, but not 100%. It's been very tedious. You ask how we are now, I've probably told you more than you wanted to know. You know, a lot of people's lives would kind of fit the bill of that woman and the woman that we read in our text, it seems like. And the truth of the matter is that reality can be brutal. But at the same time, it can drive us into a new dimension of trust. You know, at some point in life, we probably all will become or are desperate. At some point in life, we may all become desperate. But what did she do? You know, the first thing we see that, you know, she cried out to the man of God, which in that day, the prophet represented God to a greater degree than we do today. She cried out to God. She says she just cried out to God. That's what she did. There's a good lesson for us and to look at when things get bad, cry out to God. The second thing we see, the second point is we got to get empty. You know, as I said, you know, we have a lot of resources. And what we do today a lot of times is we tend to use up all the other resources that we have before we ever or even never turn to God. You know, we got all kind of things we can go to. You know, when you think about the woman, she's running out, she's only got a little bit of oil, and if she had ran out of oil, the logical thing would have been to do what? Probably just go over and see the neighbors and see if you can borrow a little bit of oil from them, kind of gets you by. The problem with that resource is that eventually that resource may dry up as well. You know, those resources are limited. It's only when we begin to see God as our source that we will find the supply. As long as we think we're in the owners of our lives, we'll never understand what it means to be a steward and several other things. You know, a lot of people, they hoard what they have and they lock themselves in. They live in fear and they're holding on till the bitter end of all the things that they have. You know, when we think about the things in life that's out of our control, well, think about all the things. You know, Floyd the Barber on Andy Griffith always says, you know, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. You know, the reason is because we can't do anything about the weather. You know, it's something out of our control. We talk about the economy, and to a certain extent, the economy is what the economy is. You know, that the interest on our debt's over $65,000 every 6 seconds. We'll never pay it off. You know, it's trillion-dollar budgets that we're talking about. It's just mind-boggling over our mind. We really can't do that much about it. We talk about terrorism. You know, we try to do things about it, but we can't control it ourselves. There's a lot of things, and I don't have an exhaustive list of all the things in life that are out of our control. But we think about our own lives. A lot of times we think we can control our life. But I want to tell you this, but as long as we think we can control our life, we'll never experience the fullness of life as God intended. As long as we think that we can control our life, we'll never understand the fullness of God as that, you know, that He intended, fullness of life that God intended. You know, we have to, you know, put it in God's hands. Realize, you know, put it to where that God is in control. You know, when she sent her sons out, I like this part right here. She sent her sons out. Elijah said, go out and get a bunch of empty vessels, not a few. In other words, get all you can find. Find a bunch of empty vessels. You know, they had no problem whatsoever finding empty vessels. No problem whatsoever. Finding full ones was another problem. Finding empty ones was not a problem. They found a lot of them. You know, and that's when you look at vessels as in life. When you look at life, listen, it's not hard to find people with empty lives. It's not, huh? I was talking to you about, you know, the Great Commission, going to all the world, preach the gospel, finding, you know, talking to people about the Lord. And we had prayer at Sunday school. I think Melody said, you know, we really need to think about the lost. Listen, it's not hard to find empty vessels. The world's full of them. This room's probably full of people with some emptiness in their lives. Empty vessels are everywhere. The world's full of them, and even churches are full of empty vessels. But how are they going to give you what you don't have and what you need? An empty vessel can't supply your need. It's not worth anything. Brings us to the third point, and that's this. It's get filled. You know, get filled. Remember, and that, what I mean by this, the first thing you have to do is you have to get emptied of yourself before you can be filled with God. Long as you think you're in control, that's self. You know, long as you think you can do it, long as you think you can meet your need, long as you think you got enough resources, you don't need God, you'll never be filled with God. You know, He said, listen, I didn't come for the healthy. Jesus said, I came for the sick. Huh? You got to see yourself. You got to have a problem. You know how we are. Men are probably worse about this than women are. You know, men, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, once again, arm can be falling off and they don't think they need to go to the doctor. You know, it don't matter what it is. Nothing's wrong with me. I don't need to go to the doctor. I'm, you know. Listen, when you get sick, go to the doctor. If that's what you need, listen. And what it relates in a spiritual way, though, too. People think, man, I just don't need God. Everything's going all right. I don't need God. You know, to get filled with God, you got to be emptied of yourself. And after you're emptied with yourself, you know, you have to be filled with God. When I talked about those things going on in the world, when we see what's going on I always watch that show on Saturday night a lot. Sherry gets mad at me. Said, I don't know why you watch that junk all the time. They got Drugs, Inc. on there. You know, there's all the drug stuff that's going on. They got different cities will be on there. I think they're in Phoenix and Seattle and Washington, all these people. And drugs, man, the millions, millions, and millions of dollars, man. And the guy said, listen, man, it's business, man. This and that. Heroin's on the right. Heroin's the new drug, man. Everybody's forgetting all the stuff to get you all jacked up. Now they're getting the stuff to just wipe you out. You know, they're doing all that. Why? What's behind all that? Why all that? Why is the entertainment industry? Why are things open 24 hours a day? I've heard this, never been there. Honestly, I never have. I've been there. I've seen it on TV. Las Vegas, you go to them casinos, you ever notice they don't have any windows in there? They don't want you to know what time it is. Huh? They don't want your mind gets so messed up sitting there drinking, playing slot machine. You know, if it's 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, they don't care. They don't want you to see the sun going up and down. Spend your whole life in there. They don't care. As soon as you're spent, they'll wring you out, throw you out in the trash, and get the next one. How come all that stuff is successful? How come immorality, the rat race that we're all in, why is it so successful? One big word, loneliness. There's a lot of lonely people out there in the world. Will they admit it? No. No. Most of them won't admit it, not until you get about three-fifths of Jack Daniels down them, then they'll say, oh, my God. Then I'm lonely, right? So what it is they're lonely. They got an emptiness with inside. There's a void they got to fill, and so they start filling it with something. Fill it with drugs. Fill it with alcohol. Fill it with illicit relationships. You know, you can even fill it with business, man. You know, you can be very industrious and say, man, I'm going to work, work, work. You know what? Workaholic. We got the term. Workaholic. Work, 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 work. You don't have time for God. Huh? You can get busy. You can get up there, come up to the church, join the church, get in the church and start getting busy doing things for God. Doing things for God and thinking, you know what? I'm busy, but I'm, you know what? It's like I said this morning. You don't just get busy for business sake. It's what will thou have me to do? And I want you to see this point right here. You know, you can think, man, I'm just going to do something for God. I'm going to do this, man. We're going to do this. We're going to have a food bank and we're going to do the clothes. You know what? You can do all that stuff and it's all good and helpful and all that. But what's the main thing that God calls to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? To be a witness about Jesus Christ. Tell people, and as long as you never do that, and you do all this other stuff right here, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. You'll be empty, you'll be cold, you'll be dead, and you'll start blaming it on everything else. You'll blame it on everybody and everything else, and it's really you. You're not doing what God called you to do. God made us. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're here lost, you don't know the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know the Lord, I don't care what you jam in your life, you'll always be empty. You can be running and funning and having this and that and doing everything, but God made us to worship Him. Amen. And if you're not worshiping God, you're not going to be satisfied. And then God made us to serve Him too. He made us to go out and tell others. And so even in the realm of Christianity and within the umbrella of the church, you can be filled up doing a whole lot of things and still not doing the main thing. You're still going to be feeling empty. You're going to be not feeling satisfied. And so, once again, empty vessels that we see. Listen, it's not a problem finding those. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Get this. This is important. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A lot of Christians got it backwards. They say, if I don't walk in the flesh, I will walk in the Spirit. No, it doesn't say that. That would be Reformation. It says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got to walk in the Spirit first. That's what you do. Walking in the Spirit will keep you from walking or fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Not abstaining from fulfilling the lust of the flesh is going to make you walk in the Spirit. That's not what it says. That's not. It's backwards. Well, how was she filled? Number one, she listened to God's word. She says, this is what the prophet said. Listen, go out and get the pots. This is a word from God, God's man. Go out and get the pots, borrow them, and then pour in there with the vessel you have. She listened to God's word. It's not in trying, it's in trusting. We don't get anything accomplished for God by trying. We get it accomplished with God by trusting. She did what she was told. She didn't debate, discuss, deliberate. She just obeyed. We have a tendency to be resistant to repentance. The man does, man, society. We have a tendency to be resistant to repentance. Too often we obey only if we can see how it's going to work out. Listen, just take God at His word. The essence of faith is obedience. So she did what she was told. Another thing, this is an odd one, she tithed. She tithed. He said, what do you got in the house? She said, I just got this one pot of oil. He said, give it to me. She gave God what she had. She just gave God what she had. This is all I got. A pot of oil. That word for pot means it was something more like, it wasn't a pot like we think. It's a word that would be used for vial or a flask. Something small. She didn't have much, but she gave it all. She probably gave more than a tithe because she gave everything there. See, when things get desperate, especially in the financial area, the last thing that we think we need to do is give God what little we have. We have a tendency to hoard what we have and not give it to God. But you know, when she started pouring, the way it worked in there, she got all them empty vessels, and Elisha said, start pouring. So she had a little vial or a little flask, probably just a little thing like this. And she started pouring. And they got pots. I mean, they probably got big pots, big vessels. She started pouring in them vessels. And man, she's filling them all. Out of that one little thing she gave God. Great lesson for us, right? Amen. God can do a whole lot more with that one little flask than you'll ever do with it. Huh? God can do more if you just give it to God. And so you know what she did? She got in a desperate situation. Man, she cried out to God. She listened to God's word. She obeyed what God's word says, and she gave God what she had. Listen, man, I mean, listen, God was taking care of it. And then here's another thing. She got alone with God. Three times in this chapter here, there's a reference to the door being shut. The door was shut. They went in and the door was shut. This is what I think it points to. We can't be something in public that we're not in private. You can't be something in public that you're not in private. And God usually meets us in a personal way out of the crowd. And I'm not saying, oh, hey, we don't have to go to church. That's not what I was saying, because Hebrews 10:25 tells us to assemble together and worship God. But I'm talking about, listen, I'm not going to give you all what you need for the whole week. It's just not happening. I mean, I know I'm great, but I'm not that great. I'm sarcastic. I'm not going to be able to give you what you need for all of your personal relationship with God. Amen. Now, you got to have time alone. When you get alone with God and you shut the door and you turn off the cell phone, I know that's hard for you, man. Your finger probably don't even know where the off button is. When you turn it off and you get alone with God and you got to spend time, you and God, and let God speak to you. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Like I said earlier, you know, and then listen for God to speak. You're not going to find that out probably here. You know, it's I'm not going to give you everything that you could have, you know, with God. And this can't be. Listen, this would be a miserable, miserable life if all of your Christian experience is showing up at Valley View Baptist Church at 11 and getting out of here whenever I get done on Sunday morning. If that's it, it's a miracle that you even still come. It is. If that's all your Christian experience revolves around, you are not a happy camper. You can't be. You can't be satisfied. You can't be filled. You know, it'd be a monotonous, tedious, ritualistic relationship with God. Now, you gotta get alone with God. When you look at the people in the Bible, Jacob, he wrestled with God and they were alone. Moses was at the burning bush alone. Elijah went out in the desert and sat under a tree and he was desperate. He felt like dying, but he got alone with God. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went apart from the rest of the disciples when he prayed and sweat those great drops of blood. You gotta spend some time with God. Listen, I'll never give you, never, never, the greatest preacher in the world other than Jesus Christ will never give you what you need for your Christian experience in a personal way. I can't give it to you. If I could do it, if I knew what to say, I wish there was some magic message that, you know, I preached it and all of a sudden the light bulb went on above everybody's little head and you got it and you said, man, I know what you're talking about. Man, you know, I want to love God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. And I know, and I want to serve God. And you run out the door and you don't even go home and you went out soul winning. I wish I knew what that message was. I can't. I don't have it. I can tell you these things. You got to have a relationship with God on your own. Listen, y'all, that those of you that are married, you know your wives, you love your wives, you know about your wife, you dated her, you found out about her, you've been living with them for years, and the men, you know, listen, I can't go over there and talk to your wife and find out all about her personality and come back and tell you about it. Oh, yeah, that girl there, man, now she likes this color, she likes that, and boy, she, you know, and on and on. And that, what kind of relationship would that be for you? You know, I can't do it for you. You gotta do those things yourself. It's the same with God. I can't have an experience with God for you. You gotta have an experience with God. And you can't just have it here on Sunday morning from 11 to 12, once a week. What kind of a marriage relationship would you have? You only talk to your wife once a week. Some of you be better, but right. Huh? That's right, Fred, huh? You like that one that Sandy said, yeah. No, I mean really or anybody. That wouldn't be a relationship. That would be an acquaintance. And a lot of people, that's what they have with Jesus, just an acquaintance. They know him a little bit. They don't have a relationship with him, right? I mean, you got to get along with God. There's a power in getting along with God. And we get so busy running here and there. And I know Satan's at the bottom of that we, you know, sometimes we just got to shut the door and get along with God. And I'm going to preach tonight about prayer time and what time is the best time. But I'm going to tell you something in the morning. You better start off in the morning. Yeah, you better start off before that flurry of text messaging starts rolling. Once Stanley gets the daily trivia question out, then the rest of them come in there behind it, buddy. You're not getting no Bible reading done unless you turn it. Huh? Get up early and get that thing done before we get busy. I'll talk about that tonight. And then here's the last thing she did. She got busy. You see her in verse 7? It says she came and told the man of God about the oil. And he said, go and sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. See, a lot of times, We see the wisdom in turning to the Word of God for help in our problems. But we don't see the need of turning to the Word of God for instructions on what to do with our prosperity. We all know how to turn to God with our problems. It's turning to God with our prosperity. Now, she said, now, okay, my vessels are full. What do I do? He said, all right, listen, you got a financial problem. He said, take all the oil, go out and sell it. You're going to have enough oil to sell and live on. You're going to have enough oil left over for you to use to cook, whatever you're going to do with the oil. He gives her instructions, the man of God, on how to live. She moved from defeat to victory. Now, I'll say this, right here at the end, I preached it kind of fast because of the way time went. But, maybe you're bankrupt spiritually. I don't know. I don't know where y'all at. I think all of us would be honest and should be, and with ourselves, and we say, I could have a better relationship with the Lord than I got. It goes under that heading of you get out what you put in. And with God, we're probably really getting more out than we put in anyway, but we could have more. I don't know where you're at, but I think some, you might be bankrupt spiritually or way down in your funds there. Your prayer life maybe seems pretty shallow, or maybe your walk is faltering, and your religious talk sometimes sounds hollow, and you know more than you're living up to, which I think most of you probably do. And you know what it is? It's just time to get honest with God. Amen. You need divine intervention. You need a different solution than the one that you've been looking for. Mary and Mary's mother, Jesus' mother, Mary, Jesus' mother, she said, we need to do what she said. She instructed some people at a wedding feast, and she said this one little simple sentence. She said, do whatever he tells you to do. Do whatever he tells you to do. Just do that. That boils it down. You don't have to have a college degree, a PhD, a PhG, a PH whatever. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to know everything in the Bible. You don't have to know much. Just do whatever he tells you to do. Huh? Boy, that's exactly what this woman, in her hour of desperation, that's what she did. Do whatever he tells you to do. That was the beginning of blessings for her. Amen?